Have you ever been told at some point in your life that you are not good enough, smart enough, strong enough, rich enough, or any reason really? This podcast is meant to teach, motivate, and inspire you to never lose sight of what your true passion is and to always believe you are far more capable than you think. Welcome to the Why Not Me podcast with your host, David Lawrence. Each week, we'll bring you a special guest that will truly motivate, inspire, and encourage you to never lose sight of who you are, what it is you're meant to do, and to offer valuable advice on what steps you can take to help you believe in yourself, achieve your dreams, and ultimately lead you to discover your purpose, passion, and drive.
I want to be a leader. I want to be a partner. I want to be a support system. I want to be a coach. I want to educate. I want to motivate, inspire. But the biggest piece there is accountability, okay? Like, you can be a great inspiring coach, but if you don't hold them accountable to that standard or that methodology or strategy to get to the goal, you're just not going to get there.
Welcome back to the Why Not Me podcast. Today, I'm extremely excited to bring a good friend of mine, one of my former coaches, mentors with the Todd Durkin Mastermind Group, Jared Cogswell. Jared is the current Lifetime General Manager. Some of his background, Jared's a founder, business coach, and keynote speaker, former DECA co-creator, senior director, and then general manager of Club Sport. So excited to bring him on to talk about his experiences, his background, and hopefully get you fired up and motivated to take the next step in your career, or if you're just questioning kind of where you're at right now in life. Jared, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Depot. It's been a long time, and it's great to reconnect.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really enjoy, our time that you were mentoring me with Todd's group and everything, and kind of what I learned from you. And so I'm excited to kind of bring you on and share your knowledge and experience with everybody, especially with those in who may be in the fitness world, but those who aren't in the fitness world.
Yeah, well, I'm honored to have the opportunity to share probably a lot more lessons that I've learned along the way than just successes. That's the way this industry rolls. But we've got good roots being connected with TD, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to hear about and to share your experiences right now. And let's kind of start kind of where you're at right now and kind of how you got there. Like, what led you to this point?
Well, you know, I was fortunate to live in Denver, Colorado, and work in a hybrid role, as you stated, as a co-creator for Spartan DECA, and really valued that opportunity. But, you know, what I was missing was just the in-person contact with people. You know, COVID, it's funny. I was talking to a friend this morning. We were talking about how hard we worked during COVID, where a lot of people were taking a little bit of time off here and there, right?
Right.
And but Yancey and I were on the road, mainly in Florida and Texas, because they were on another planet during COVID.
That's right. That's
but
right.
We took advantage of that opportunity down there and really pushed DECA hard. And it was great being around all these passionate and purposeful fitness professionals and their members and the communities that they built. And it really, I think, shined a light during a dark time, you know, especially for, especially for the gym operators. So that was really important to me is being able to engage and connect with people, but primarily in that role, we were all working, you know, either in a hybrid role or remote. And that's just hasn't been my career. It's been being around people. I grew up in this business, working a front desk. I was a trainer at the age of 19 years of age, and I was a coach, and just always been around people and energy. And it's something that I really crave that, right? Mm-hmm. I love being surrounded by people that are going to inspire me. And what better environment than the fitness environment, right?
Absolutely.
And so a recruiter reached out from Lifetime, and we were talking for literally 6 to 8 months. And they kept talking about Beaverton, Oregon. They were going to build a facility out in Beaverton. And I said, no, I'm not interested, but if something in Colorado happens, please let me know. Mm-hmm. And so what ended up happening is my daughter, who lived 10 blocks away from me in downtown Denver, I'm really close to Skylar and love her dearly. I love my whole family. But Skylar and I just, you know, to be able to spend so much time together meant a lot. And she comes over one night with a bottle of champagne And I said, what are we celebrating? And she goes, Dad, I got a new job. And I said, oh, okay, that's great. And she goes, I'm moving back to Portland. And I was like, and David, admittedly, I was happy for her, but I selfishly cried like a baby, you know, like, oh, yeah. No, you know, yeah, like, because yeah. It meant so much to me to be close to her. And, but after a couple of weeks, I go, okay, maybe I am interested in that Beaverton property.
Right.
So I got on the phone, and fortunately, they were still on the search, and it all worked out. And Adina, my wife, and I, we made the trek from Denver, Colorado, back to Portland, and you know, it's been beautiful. You know, all my friends are still here. I just summited Mount Hood for the 94th time, and you know, my goal is to reach 100. And so it's like old times, mm-hmm. just a different era. And, you know, I was remarried in 2020 to, you know, somebody that I love dearly and respect. And, you know, I can't complain about life. That's for sure.
No. And I followed your journey since I've known you, and you're definitely not one to shy away from an adventure or an experience that's going to make you better. It sounds like the opportunity was right there in the right time, and you took advantage of it. And I think that lets a lot of people just take back for and sit back for a second and look at those opportunities that are presented to us and the timing of them and mm-hmm. and kind of how that just perfectly kind of fell into place for you. And which leads me to kind of jumping over to kind of mindset and what that takes as you are presented those things, good and bad, and how you personally deal with them or dealt with them.
Well, there's probably a few things that come to mind, and it's interesting that you talk about timing and the choices you make, because, gosh, you know, I think back to so many decisions and choices that I've made, and some of them have been like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I made that decision, right? Because there was a negative result from it. But when I really reflect back, even on the negative choices, they led me to where I currently am today. And that's what I'm so grateful for. So you have to endure some of those situations and embrace them as a growth opportunity. And that's exactly what all of those experiences have done for me. And what I realized, you know, especially in today's professional and work landscape, is we're in a different environment than we were pre-COVID. You know, there's mm-hmm. just a different mindset amongst the general population. And it's different for me. And what I realized about myself, you know, for what it takes to get to where you want to be and continue to elevate, is that you can have whatever interest. Whatever your passion is, all of those things, I don't care, right? Like I think it's great that you have those gifts and those interests, but the common thread, like if we're gonna hang out with one another and be connected, mm-hmm. the common thread is grit. And mm-hmm. if you don't have grit, then we're probably not gonna be friends, we're probably not gonna work together. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to surround yourself with people that are going to elevate you, you know, and you can inspire them in the process too. But I broke down grit with our team here in Beaverton, and they know where I stand on this. I, you know, number one, you got to have a growth mindset. You got to be willing to learn. And if you think you're the smartest one in the room, then, you know, you're probably not, and you probably need to get out. Like, you know, right, it doesn't matter how long we've been doing something, there's always room to learn. And what comes with that is you're able to retain relevancy, right?
Right.
And then number two, you have to be resilient. You know, you have to be able to endure life professionally and personally, those ups and downs and that roller coaster ride. And you have to persevere. And you can't feel sorry for yourself. You just have to be able to, you know, look at yourself and dig yourself out of whatever potential hole you're in. And right. you got to keep trying. And, you know, even when I tell people the stories of all the summits and climbing mountains, right, it doesn't stop there. It's like, okay, you've built yourself up to climb that mountain. And once you do, now it's time to go to a bigger mountain, no matter who you are and where you are in life. Doesn't matter how old you are. Like, you know, I'm going to turn 53 next week, right? Mm-hmm. I still think I can beat up my 30-year-old self, right? I think I'd still have a chance against that guy. And then the other one is integrity. And this is a big word to me, David, because I think in my life choices, admittedly, I didn't always make the best choices. And I've learned from those. And again, surrounded myself with somebody like my wife who has nudged me, not forced me, but really to engage in my faith. That's been a really important word to me. I want to live with integrity, which means that I honor my personal and professional commitments, you know, and there's a lot of goals that I have in my mind, and there's strategies to reach those goals, but you're not going to get to those if you don't consistently honor those commitments and those relationships you've built. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, I think the one that just kind of gets my juices going and makes my blood boil is just, you got to be tenacious. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be proactive. If you want something, you got to go out there and grab it, and you do it respectfully. You do it ethically. But you got to be able to be a grinder, you know? And I think when you sew up the whole meaning of grit, and you surround yourself with gritty people, you just have more fun in life. You know, there's nothing better than hanging around somebody like David Poherence and knowing that he's got your back and he's committed and he's going to push you even without even saying anything. You want to be a little bit better because of surrounding yourself with the right people.
I mean, saying that just alone, knowing for everyone listening, Jarrett is probably one of the best coaches out there and mentors you can ask for if you're new to this business or experience. And you know, I've learned a lot from Jarrett and others in our group, but particularly Jarrett, because Jarrett was my direct coach. So when he's talking to his team about grit, I mean, he lives it. So Jarrett, I want to jump over to you. Talk about identifying those people, right, of who have that grit. How do you remove those who don't? If someone's listening to this, and you know, because you're right, you have to surround yourself with positive, like-minded individuals in any walk of life or whatever your career choice is. But I've, you know, like even in my experiences, having to maybe dissociate yourself with a friend who's doesn't have that same mindset without, I think people, you know, you kind of walk on eggshells a little bit when you're trying to maneuver through your personal and business relationships.
I think number one, you have to be intentional about who you do surround yourself with. And then number two, I think you have to be honest. And sometimes being even direct, you know, I've had, you know, just even in the last 7 days, David, a couple of hard conversations with people that I've reminded them of, you know, what they did commit to and the standard. And those are never fun conversations, because the last thing I want to sound like, even though I'm the general manager, right? Like, I don't even like the title. Maybe the company doesn't want me to say that, but you know what? I don't care. I want to be a leader. I want to be a partner. I want to be a support system. Mm-hmm. I want to be a coach. I want to educate. I want to motivate, inspire. But dot, 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 the biggest piece there is accountability. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be a great, inspiring coach, but if you don't hold them accountable to that standard or that methodology or strategy to get to the mm-hmm. goal, you're just not going to get there. So you have to have you can't be afraid to have those honest conversations, because you could have some people that are pursuing you and want you in your life, but if they're sucking up your own energy and they're mm-hmm. bad for your energy, you got to have the conversation like, hey, right now could be the turnaround conversation, right? Where we are going up together. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to let you pull me down anymore. So you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice on your commitment. Are you truly invested in where you want to go? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to continue to come up with the excuses that disallow you from achieving what we can accomplish together? Right. So you have to be really transparent and intentional when it comes to those things. And then again, it's just putting the most energy as possible into those people that are thriving and want to perform at that high level. I think as leaders, for example, you know, we even do it with our families to some degree. We spend mm-hmm. so much time with the ones that are, you know, not performing to their potential that mm-hmm. we forget to recognize and spend the necessary time with our top people to right. keep them inspired and keep them motivated and keep them feeling appreciated. right?
Absolutely.
So I think there's just, again, we have to have integrity even to that commitment of surrounding ourselves with the right people. But you got to have the honest conversation. And maybe when you have that honest conversation, they won't get it at the time, but maybe later on they will. Because I know some of the coaches I tried to fool when I was a younger, say, athlete. I look back and go, gosh, he was trying to teach me a lesson. And I didn't bite on it at the time. And I wish I would have. So, you know, those things happen every day, but it's hard to let go of certain people in your life because we're emotionally attached, but sometimes it's the best thing for both parties.
Yeah. And I think when you identify that and you do have those conversations, I think at the end of the day, when you look, maybe not today, but you look further down the road, when you're in another environment or different part of your life, you've made the right choice. If you've had that discussion, you had to remove that quote unquote negative energy from your life. So I think anyone listening to that is, if you're struggling with that and you are trying to advance and you got that person or people that are holding you back, I think it's time to have those conversations with them.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So it kind of leads me to, when we talk about our careers, right, and kind of what you did from going back to when you were at Club Sport to now, what are some of the differences that from one to the other that made you grow as an individual or a professional, that you can offer that advice to somebody who may be kind of bouncing around right now and thinking, you know, they're stuck?
I think number one, what I've learned is, if I invest energy into others, it fills myself up, you know, and I think there's a lot to be said, you know, and you probably have done this too. Like if you're in a tough spot yourself, or maybe your mind isn't where it needs to be, or maybe you're in a place of darkness to some degree, right? Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to, when you're in those spaces, I know in the fitness industry for me, my therapy has been putting my own energy into other people. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden and seeing how it fills me up positively in return. And I think, you know, when I think about the where I was with as a club sport leader versus the leader I am today. And of course, we're more than a decade plus, you know, since I left club sport. Mm-hmm. But I reflected back on all the opportunities that I had to actually be who I wanted to be and do the things that I wanted to do to expand, you know, my way of thinking as a leader and as a representative of the company and at that particular community. So I'm trying to take advantage of those opportunities now. So, like, for example, one of the things that I love to do is speak, you know, and coach in the process. And I don't say that as like me thinking I'm a know-it-all. I just love the engagement. You know, yeah, I love having very informal conversations while I'm speaking and taking on questions and mm-hmm. us just having a great conversation versus, hey, you need to do it this way, you need to do it that way. It's more about a we or us scenario when I'm speaking. So I thought, hey, you know what? You know, I wrote a book, a companion book, I should say. It's a small little book that you can read in 35 to 40 minutes, Work Like an Athlete. And I thought, hey, you know, it'd be fun for our co-working professionals that are members of our club and are renting space from us in that environment. Like, maybe they need to hear Work Like an Athlete. So last week, you know, we had a small, intimate group of 12 people in a conference room. And I was able to share, you know, all the principles of working like an athlete. And, you know, it was really cool because I got a bunch of follow-up emails and talked to people afterwards, and they were inspired and remotivated, and they wanted to hear more, right? And that got my juices going. And I wouldn't have done that in the past. I would have been, and you know what's interesting about that, David, if I can just get off on a tangent real quick, is sometimes you forget, like, or we get embarrassed for some reason, or we get fearful of being able to say, hey, I can go out and coach people, I can go out and lead people. And but then there's a part of me that says, well, I don't want everybody to think I'm some arrogant guy, right? But why not me? Why not me? Why, you know, if Todd Durkin does it, why not me?
Right.
If whoever's out there, you know, leading the charge there, whether it's social media influencers or business leaders or the Gary V's, why not me? I was placed on this planet just like them, right?
Right.
So anyway, in that case, that filled me up, and I was able to have impact a different way as the, you know, general manager of this particular destination. The other thing is, I just said, hey, I want to get back to coaching classes. You know, I grew up in this business as a trainer, right? And as a coach, and I get stuck behind this desk I'm at right now. This isn't what like fuels me. This isn't what gets me juiced up. I got to get out in the club. And so yesterday I coached one of our GTX classes and, you know, was out there doing my best to keep people motivated and inspired during their workout, making sure that when they left, that they were winning the day.
Right.
And those were the things that I didn't do before that I'm just, there's just no way I'm not going to do them going forward.
Right. And that's knowing who you are and just the advice that hopefully the listeners pick up on this is to continue to be who you are, no matter what role you're in, and don't forget about kind of what got you there and those passions that drive you, because a lot of that time, that mindset can ruin that if you are thinking in a negative manner that, oh, I don't like this job, but you forgot all the good things that you did before them to get you there. So, and hearing you talk about work like an athlete is, I want to put that in our notes at the end of this, because I want to make sure everybody gets that, you know, because that's something that's good for everybody to kind of use in their group meetings. And you talk about you getting out there and got to be out on the floor and getting fired up by that. But we forget about those things, especially myself, when you're in the club or if we're in leadership roles, those little things that matter to us. Like, you know, example today, I was talking to a woman who had a heart attack during COVID, and she's back into the gym, and she's like, I just come here because you guys all motivate me. She's like, and just being around you and talking to you for this couple of minutes, you know, so those little things that really fire you up and really get you thinking of why, when you're having that bad day, of why you're really in what you're doing. So no matter anybody listening to this, what you're doing, just think about what matters to those around you, even if that 5 second conversation with somebody. So, and getting out there and making things happen. So, Jerry, let's talk about struggles, you know, along your way in careers and how you dealt with them. Is there something that, you know, one versus the other that you can kind of pinpoint now that really could have turned the corner for you? You know, you talk about those fork in the road kind of moments.
You know, David, it's interesting. When I was with another company, it just seemed like I was like on this big winning streak, you know, like, I would get opportunities. I started out as a trainer. Then eventually I was hired by, you know, Leisure Sports, who I just did backtrack for a second. I always thought when I was a kid, I was going to grow up and play shortstop for the San Francisco Giants. Right. And eventually hit the game winning grand slam against the Dodgers in the national championship series, you know? And, but you know, the business of fitness became my major leagues. It's truly what I love. It's truly become my platform for all the things that I love to do. And I've been able to say that for the past 34 years, I've been paid for my passion. And but there have been some struggles along the way. And, you know, when I left club sport, I got in two bad business deals. I left the club. I left a career with a wonderful company and a company that supported me and so forth. But I just felt like I was ready for that next step, you know, and just like everybody else, I wanted to be an entrepreneur and, you know, see what I could do out on my own. And the first deal I got on, it was just within a matter of weeks where the rug was pulled underneath me, and somebody that didn't have the integrity end up re-signing behind the scenes, and we lost the deal on the facility that we were going to purchase. So that was painful. And what was awesome about it, though, when I reflect back on it, was my network. So many people knew what happened, and they were so determined to help me, and get me in front of other people, like, oh, hey, this guy is amazing and he should come work for your company. But I was still focused on being an entrepreneur. So that's when I built my consulting business. I said, well, I'm going to take everything I know and go share this knowledge with other fitness professionals and business owners. So I started a company called Enterprise Athlete. And eventually I was doing business as Work Like an Athlete. And then I eventually got a new opportunity and built a fitness facility and partnered up. And it's funny, man, I wasn't listening to the whispers. You know, I would talk to TD and he'd say, you gotta start small and grow, right? And or don't do a partnership, you know, try to stay out of partnerships. Instead, I went big. I got into a partnership. And, you know, 3 years later, you know, I was broke, lost a lot of money on that deal. I sold my home, just a lot of factors went into that and some really dark times. And then I started losing my own self-identity and I've started doubting myself. And I'm like, what is going on here? I've been winning my whole life. And now I'm on like a 3 or 4 year losing streak.
Right.
And, but I do know this about myself. Like I do have perseverance and I kind of use climbing as an analogy for life. You know, I've spent a lot of time in the mountains and I've been in some interesting situations, you know, spending nights on summits in a snow cave. And, you know, there's just been a lot of different moments where you have to persevere to stay alive and you realize, you know, what's really deep down inside of you. And some of those experiences I've shared with others and like, hey, you don't know it, but when you possibly are going to leave this earth, you realize there's an animal inside of you trying to stay alive and it will do whatever it takes to withstand life. Right. Well, it's the same thing in your normal day to day on solid, safe ground, so to speak. And you have to persevere, you have to keep climbing. And I think what we do individually, again, using the climbing analogy, is we're always looking at the summit, right? And sometimes that summit seems so damn far. And it's like, no matter how long you've been going, you look back up and you go, wait a minute, did I make any progress? And what I try to tell people is like, you know, what I've learned is you need to slow down at times, recover, pause, okay, and take the next chunk of whether that's life or this climb in front of you. Do you just have to get to the next point? And then another thing to do is turn around and look how far you've come.
Right.
And that's when you realize like, hey, that mountaintop still looks pretty damn far. Mm-hmm. But when I look down, I'm pretty high up. I'm a lot further than where I was, you know?
Right.
And so, and it's not luck, you know, a lot of it's God's work, you know, that's helping us through that process. But it's also, you still have to do the work. You still have to persevere. And that's when opportunities come unknowingly, you know, think about our relationships. Like I think about how I met Adina, right? That was enduring a lot of different climbs, some tumultuous climbs. And then I'm like, oh God, you gave me her. Like, this is amazing. Like, I wouldn't have gotten her had I not experienced all those other failures along the way.
Right.
And that's how things happen in life. They happen to you personally like that. They happen to you professionally like that. And so I just continued to just go and just continue to climb through life, and eventually opportunities popped up. And, you know, that's what eventually led to working with Alpha Warrior and working with the U.S. Army soldiers, meeting Yancey Culp, and then eventually working for Spartan. And it's just, and it's because we didn't quit, you know, right. It's because we kept climbing.
It's that inner fire and taking note of, I mean, I do this daily with the help of just learning from others like yourself is to write down kind of where, like you said, where you were, how far it took and things you overcame to get to where you are today. And then looking forward and not behind you, because those are the success and failures are behind you. Right. But what's that next step to move us forward to get to that mountaintop? And I think we tend to forget how well we are thinking about our mindset of, you know, we can accomplish those things if we're not getting in our own way. And I think a lot of times for myself is when I'm looking at, oh, how am I going to deal with this problem or that problem? I can't overcome something. But then you look back, for me, I look back and see, like during COVID, you know, if you recall, like we were close, I felt like we were close to not surviving it. And I remember having that conversation with you and Frank and getting, you know, you guys kind of getting me through, because I'm like, well, I started to revert back to a mindset that I can't do things. And instead of taking inventory of the success that I had to kind of get to where I was, and using that success to propel past that problem like everybody else was dealing with, right? So I think you're 100% correct in that mindset and that approach. I think hopefully everybody listening to that just jotted down that point of this podcast and goes back and listen to that over and over again at some point when they need that push.
Well, and I think, David, too, is, you know, I talk about the work like an athlete mantra, and basically what that means, it's approaching your life personally and professionally like an elite athlete would his or her sport. And, you know, the reason why that mantra is important to me is there's principles, guiding principles that help you, I think, to winning, you know, and hopefully being a champion in your field or being a champion dad or a champion husband or whoever that is, right? And the foundation of that is passion and purpose. You know, mm-hmm. We have to, you know, I think we all have something we're passionate about. And I think guys like us, we're passionate about fitness. You know, mm-hmm. We know what it does for us, not just physically, but what it does for us mentally and emotionally, and it gives us confidence and so mm-hmm. forth. But it's also the purpose of it all. You like, and I know it sounds cliche, you know, you got to remember your why and so forth, but it's true. Like, if you remember every morning when you wake up I know in our industry that I can have an impact on somebody's life. And I know that that's selfishly going to fill me up in the process, but I am going to have an impact on somebody's life today. That's mm-hmm. what I get paid to do. That's what I get to do. And I don't have to do it. It's not a job. It's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I tell all of our people that work within our property, if you work that front desk as a member concierge, simply knowing David's name when he walks through the club mm-hmm. makes him feel like he belongs. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a coach. You don't have to be an instructor. You don't have to have a title to have impact on somebody else. Right. And when we have that impact on somebody else, all we're doing is we're connecting more dots together, because they see the light, they know how it makes them feel, and they're going to carry that light to somebody else. And that to me is impact. And that's the foundation of it all.
Absolutely. And it's 100% correct. And just the feeling of in our business that we can inspire somebody just with that hello or goodbye or the handshake, the hand on the shoulder, just something, especially we never know what someone else is going through. So anyone listening to this, is we all have our issues and our struggles, but just think of that person that maybe have it a little bit worse than you have it today and how you can help them push through. So mm-hmm. I enjoy what we do and I love it as well. Just our opportunity that we get every day to do something, look at things instead of looking at them as a problem, look at it as an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so let's talk about what you and I were talking about earlier, just about some of the things to keep us pushing forward. And I was asking you about lifestyle and some of the things of what's a priority for you, without a doubt, non-negotiable. You know, maybe it's something you and Adina share, like, hey, we have to do this today. It's no matter what else is going on. Like, what's that priority or non-negotiable for you?
Well, I think it starts with, okay, first knowing, having a clear vision of who you want to be and where you want to go, right? And again, you have to be around the right people to help get you there. This life is not a journey to, I think, approach alone. Mm-hmm. And you know, fortunately for me, I have a like-minded partner in life. And like I said earlier, she's nudged me towards my faith. So I think number one, the foundation for me has been that faith. If I'm not connecting with God on a daily basis now in the morning, I'm not in the same space to start my day. And I think you have to have daily rituals to start this day. You know, I always call it the game called life, right? Mm-hmm. And in order to win today, right? This was my process this morning as an example. I have to commit to these daily rituals or positive habits. Mm-hmm. And for me, what it's all about is, one, I need to connect with God. I need to take care. I always wake up an hour earlier than I really need to. And maybe that's not even the right phrase, because I do need my own power hour, right? I need mm-hmm. to be able to really invest in myself and get ready for this game called life for that particular day, because I want to win. I got to start with a foundation. And I have to be able to do these types of things so that I control the day versus it controlling me, or even being prepared for things that might blindside me. And mm-hmm. how am I going to react to those scenarios? So number one is spending time and getting that peace with God. Number two, something that I implemented in my daily rituals is cold plunging. You know what I call it? Intentional uncomfortability. Doing something that you know is, I wouldn't say it's pain or suffering, but it's definitely uncomfortable, you know, mm-hmm. for those 3 to 4 minutes to start each morning. But it makes me feel fresh, and it makes me feel like, okay, I'm getting where I need to be. The other thing is moving my body. So, and it could be as simple. It doesn't mean I've got to go out for a 5-mile run that morning. Eventually mm-hmm. I'm going to do something that's really physical. But it could be just simply stretching, you know, and getting the body coordinated with the mind and the spirit of things. So that's definitely on the list. And then I think last but not least is just being able to pause and really think about the day that's ahead of you, mm-hmm. you know, knowing what's coming and planning ahead. You know, in the mastermind, for example, we would always put our big five out for the week mm-hmm. on Sunday nights, because the whole idea was to prepare ahead of time. You know, don't let the right. days control you. You win the days. And I just feel like when I do those things on a consistent basis, I'm not just going to win the day, I'm going to dominate the day. And that's not always the case, but right. at least it maximizes my potential to do so. So, and you know what I found, David, just, and I was sharing this on a social post not too long ago, but that daily habit, I went 90 days in a row before I broke my streak last weekend. And I'll tell you why I broke my streak last weekend, but I went 90 days in a row of cold plunging. And what it did was it developed more good habits. So like I just signed up for a new fitness conditioning certification. I'm starting to coach classes here at the club. You know, it just, there was more and more things that started adding up, because I'm like, okay, I'm winning. I want to keep doing the things that are helping me win. So to go back real quick, here's why I broke my cold plunge streak is Skylar came by my office the other day or last week. And she said, "Hey Dad, are you working this weekend?" I said, "Yes." She goes, "Is there any way you can get off?" She says, "I've got an account in Bozeman, Montana that I need to service. I got air miles. I got a hotel. Let's go ski at Big Sky on Saturday." I said, "Okay, I'm in." So I was Googling to see where I could find a cold plunge, and we just didn't have time to do it. So the streak was broke, but for a good reason.
That story is just, I mean, you can't, it's priceless that you know, you had that opportunity to spend going back to what matters most is family in that time. Versus breaking a quote unquote streak that you really just, it made you better at the end anyway. Right. And doing those things, it really kind of makes you think that you have to, if you're in an uncomfortable position doing something, that's really what makes us better. Right. And you don't really see it at the time when you're going through it or when you're dealing with that situation, but those things are what makes every experience us better inside and out. So thanks for sharing that. And I have not tried the cold plunge yet, but everyone's doing it. So now I'm kind of tempted. I need to go buy a little one and stick it in the closet or something. So Jared, let's talk just about a mentor, like, or a person or people in your life that have kind of helped mold and inspire who you are today.
You know, the number one that comes to mind, of course, is Todd Durkin. Todd is, somebody that I consider a really good friend. Heck, I wouldn't have met my wife had not been for Todd Durkin. We, Adina and I met, became friends first through the mastermind. But Todd is, he's so genuine and authentic, and he speaks my language in so many different ways, right? And I've had so many awesome, memorable conversations, even on the phone with Todd. I remember one time he had called me, and this was before I became a coach, and I was snowboarding in the backcountry, and I ended up on this road that still had snow on it, and I was actually snowboarding on a street while I was talking to Todd on the phone, because I didn't want to miss the call, right? Like, I knew I was going to get some TD juice from that phone call. And, but Todd, not only do we speak the same language, but I think what he taught me and, which was really important, was to be comfortable with who I was, even in the professional space. Like, don't compromise yourself. Right. And I would, in my previous life as a manager, right, I kind of put on a different hat when I entered the building. You know, I put on the manager hat instead of being who I was outside of the building. Like, outside of the building, I admittedly, I'm kind of a crazy guy. I do like a lot of crazy stuff. And I like to just have a good time, right? Yeah. But when I go in there, I'd be so serious and disciplined, and we gotta kick ass today, right? And sometimes, that works depending on the audience, but over time it wears people down, right? But I think on the outside, like, I'm somebody that's very heart driven. Like, I really genuinely care about people. It's just sometimes that doesn't always come across because I demand accountability. I demand consistency. I even did that with my personal training clients. Like, don't BS me and say you got to miss another session, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you just, come on, let's go back to the why and the reason why you signed up with me. But Todd really unleashed my heart, when it came to leadership. And that was really a turning point for me, becoming a leader. And it felt better because I wasn't putting on a mask anymore. I was just being who I am. And I, there's times where you got to put that manager hat on, and I don't enjoy those conversations. Like, if you have to let somebody go, even if they deserve, because they didn't perform and they weren't, and you couldn't coach them up. I hate letting people down. Right. And it's because, and I have sleepless nights, even after, I let somebody go. Was it the right thing to do? Absolutely. I wouldn't have done it otherwise. Cause I don't first of all, I don't want to put anybody in that position of being unemployed, but it's hey, I do have a responsibility to run this business at the highest level possible. And again, it's gotta be, you have to have the right people in place to make that happen. But I would say Todd is definitely my number one mentor. The other thing I would say is this: you don't have to have a title, you don't have to be a coach, but I'm mentored by my friends, the people that I surround myself with. There's many mentors in my life. I just got off the phone with a good friend of mine this morning. There's little messages that we share with one another that I think helps make us better people. My time with Yancey Kolb was so imperative, because Yancey he's such this big ball of energy, but he is who he is. He's not putting on an act. And man, we were able to just be ourselves. And again, it was a reminder of like, just be you, right? And the guy that I train with a lot is my buddy Brad. Man, he pushes me. Like, I know that I am not going to beat him in any type of fitness competition or workout. But am I better because I'm with him? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I can just go down the list of the people that inspire and mentor me without even knowing that they're doing it.
Right.
And hopefully we're doing that for one another. The guys I climb with, I climbed a few weeks ago. I got my 94th summit on Mount Hood, and they were my inspiration. It wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. It was, I didn't want to let those guys down. Right. And I wasn't in the physical condition that those guys are in. They've been climbing like crazy lately. Right. And I'm jealous of it. But some people got to work. Right. And, but when we were up there at that summit, it's such a, like, yes, we all love the view, and the view is always different when you're up there. But the most important moment that I can remember from that climb is us doing it together. We knew what it took to get to the top, and we did it together. And those are the precious moments. And you're like, I'm so damn glad these are part of my, this is part of my tribe.
Right. And the mentors for, to the listeners, if you can be a mentor to somebody in any role, whether, like Jared was saying, you don't need to have a title to be a mentor, just be an example to somebody is mentoring them, and being yourself, because you're right. We go, if we're in that leadership role, we sometimes forget to be ourselves, and we're so focused on being that quote unquote manager or leader that we forget what kind of helped us get this, that get us there was our personality and our traits, our characteristics. And sometimes we forget about those, and we can't do things alone as leaders. We need to have those people around us to help us accomplish goals. So mm-hmm. if it was easy, then yeah, there would be one person running everything, but it's not easy. That's why you have a team, and those, and you build those people around you, because in my role with what I do, there's no way I could be running with five franchises and doing it all myself. I can't, there's just no way. But not forgetting of who I am and as a listener, who you are and what you do, and not forgetting to show that to everybody instead of just focusing so much on the, you know, on that business side or that questioning of what to do next mentality. So Jared, I want to be respectful of your time, but I want to just kind of throw a couple rapid fire questions at you as we kind of wrap this up, because I already know we kind of what fires you up, and it's climbing those mountains and skiing down those those crazy hills. So what is your go-to? We talk about, you know, you're on the phone, you know, catching that phone, talking to TD that time, but what is your go-to song or podcast or something that kind of gives you the extra motivation when you're kind of going through your own self struggle doubts, or you need that little extra motivational push?
You know, one of the podcasts I listen to is, you know, I really enjoy Ed Milet as an example. I mean, he has some great guests and some great messages. And again, I think you try to find those personalities that you relate to, right? Mm-hmm. And Ed's a fitness guy, yeah. You know, on top of it. So it's like, there's this automatic, like, personal attraction to that, right? Like mm-hmm. he's a grinder.
Gets
and,
it. Yeah.
And so that's one. You know, I would say probably in the last few years, David, is Adina and I, when we were living in Denver, we would go to a place called Red Rocks Church. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of pastors there that Pastor Sean, again, another fitness guy, but he just speaks my language. He intertwines scripture with daily life, right? Mm-hmm. And using God's word to translate it into whatever we're facing that given day. And we've actually really struggled with finding a church that we resonate with here in Portland, mm-hmm. now that we're back in Portland.
Right.
So I go to, you know, YouTube videos of the services that are happening in Denver all the time, mm-hmm. Because those, I I'll take notes. I'll put the notes in my phone. I just enjoy the messages, and it doesn't have to be something that's long-winded. It could be one or two statements that just really resonates. And I reflect back on those. And what's interesting about, you know, whether you're listening to a podcast, this podcast, or something else, is if you take one lesson and apply it to your life, it's amazing how many times you can use it going forward, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was listening to a podcast with Ed. It was about two factors for greatness or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And he broke it down into hunger and focus. But what I really enjoyed about that is you're so hungry. His point was you gotta retain hunger so bad that you're actually desperate to achieve that goal. So you embrace desperation. And I was thinking about just the climb from a few weeks ago. I was so desperate to not only get number 94, but also I was desperate to make sure that I helped those guys get to the summit as well. Like we were all getting up there together. And I was like, yeah, that's why I stayed so focused. And so I don't think it was about greatness necessarily for me, but it was about, hey, you're achieving your goal. And you've got to stay, you got to stay hungry. You have to stay focused. And sometimes you got to be a little desperate to get there. But those are probably the top two right now that are resonating a lot. And I don't listen to, I probably listen to Ed every couple of weeks, and I kind of select which ones I want to listen to, based on the topic. But the Red Rocks Church is the one that I really try to stay consistent with.
For me recently too, is I do enjoy Ed's podcast as well. And I've come across a couple others along the way, because it's really depends what you're in that mood for that moment, who's speaking to you. So I encourage anyone listening to find that podcast or motivational clip here and there. That's really going to kind of your go-to when you need that moment and, you know, of push. So I got to ask every fitness person on the show, we preach fitness and eat as well as possible. What's your favorite cheat meal? What's that one that you got to like, do you have that box of like chocolates in your desk or something you might pop in every now and again or something?
Yeah, oh, man. You know what? I guess I don't have a favorite cheat meal, but let's see. This last weekend, Skylar was laughing at me because I picked up a bag for the chairlifts because I knew we were going to be out there skiing all day. In fact, she said, "Dad, what time are we going to go eat in the restaurant?" And I said, "I said, we're eating right now." You know, we were like, I just wanted to get as many turns in as possible, right? So I had a bag of Lifesaver gummies in my pocket. And she saw me pull them out and she started cracking up at me. And she goes, you're like a child. And I said, well, they taste pretty dang good. I don't need to go eat lunch. We're just going to keep turning. And these Lifesavers are going to keep me fueled up.
That's right. You sound like me when I ran a marathon. I was pulling out these little jelly bean things every now and again. And people are like eating these bananas and oranges and I'm popping at these running jelly beans or whatever. what is this guy doing? What about social media contacts? If someone wants to reach out to you and just, you know, pick your brain, you know, maybe have you coach them or just, you know, pick your, you know, your, just give some words of wisdom. Where can they reach you?
Find
you?
Instagram. It's Jarod, JARoD _ Cogswell, CogsWell. But yeah, I definitely don't call myself a social media influencer or specialist, but I think, some of the times that I post, and it's not to brag about what I'm doing or anything like that, but I'd like to provide what I consider service media versus social media sometimes. Right. And I learned that from a good friend of mine, Brian Nunes, who you should probably have on the show sometime. Mm-hmm. Brian has also been a great influencer and friend to me as well, and to so many other fitness professionals. But I learned that from Brian. It's about service media, not social.
Yeah, I'd definitely love to have him on. I'll connect with you after this to get his info for sure. Well, Jarod, I thanks for your time. But one final kind of question I ask everybody on the show is, you are on the Why Not Me podcast. What does that phrase mean to you? Or what would you say to that person out there maybe doubting themselves right now?
I think it's great that we follow other people and we're influenced by other people, but look in the mirror and remember your own greatness, or discover your own greatness and capitalize on it, because we only have one shot at this. So why not you?
Perfect. Well, that's a great way to wrap this up, and I appreciate your time and look forward to get out to see that beautiful facility of yours out there and maybe catch a workout. I don't know if I'll probably fall down the mountain, but I don't know if I can keep up with you.
We can get you up there. Thank you for having me on, Depot. I appreciate you, man. I love you like a brother.
Thanks, brother. Same here. And look forward to seeing you guys soon.
All right.
Thanks, bud. hope you've enjoyed today's show with Jared Cogswell and his exciting new role with Lifetime Fitness out in Oregon, and his words of wisdom and advice and strategies to get better, both personally, professionally, intellectually. Jared's just an all-around fantastic individual and a great coach, and I learned a lot from him, and he's become a good friend of mine through Todd Durkin's Mastermind Group. Hope you enjoyed what he had to share. Reach out to Jared if you need anything, questions, advice, strategies. I know Jared personally would love to help anyone that's in need. And I hope as well as his story motivated you to always go after what you're looking for in life and what makes you happy. Please share this show and this episode with a friend. Give us a follow, a download, and a like. As always, remember, when in doubt, ask yourself, why not me? Why not now? Until next time, have a great day.